Let me just the wisdom literature is supplemented by Job, and I'd like to give you this passage, Job 28:12-28. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man does not know the price of it, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it's not in me. Pure gold cannot be given in its stead, and silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be weighed against the gold of Ophir, against precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and crystal cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for a vessel of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, and the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it. It cannot be weighed against pure gold. For where then does wisdom come? And where is the place of understanding? Yea, it is hidden from the eyes of all living, and hidden from the birds of the heavens. The place of ruin and death say, we have heard the fame of it with our ears. God understands the way of it, and he knows its place. For he looks to the end of the earth and sees under all the heavens, making a weight for the winds and measuring out the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning to thunder, then he saw it and declared it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. So, the Proverbs is one of the books that is called Wisdom Literature, the Wisdom Literature of Solomon. It includes the Ecclesiastes and the Song of Songs, as well as Proverbs. But again, we might refer to Job, which is also part of wisdom literature, and Psalms 2. And these books are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In the first of these three books, Solomon passes on all his accumulated advice in the form of Proverbs. And the proverb, I'm sure you know, is a short, concise sentence that conveys a moral truth. And the book is a collection of these wise statements. The main theme of Proverbs, as we might expect, is the nature of true wisdom. The book covers a wide range of topics, including youth, discipline, family life, self-control, resisting temptation, business matters, the tongue, knowing God, marriage, seeking the truth, wealth and poverty, immorality, and of course, always wisdom. Well, there sometimes seems a bit strange to us in modern times. Sometimes they're a bit amusing if you want to live in the corner of a roof to avoid your nagging wife. But like all wisdom literature, it's often in a poetic form. It's usually in the form of couplets, you know, just two lines. And often in the form that this is better than that. And it's characteristic of Hebrew poetry, known as parallelism. Now, I don't know if you've come across this, but Hebrew poetry does not rhyme in the way we expect English to. But it has a rhythm, has a rhythm of either similar concepts repeated in a different way. For example, from Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's repeated, and a light unto my path. So this is the parallelism, and these are the parallelism of the two ideas or concepts that are repeated, but in slightly different words. So There's no rhyme. And I think it's the reason why the AV is such a lovely language, because they managed to preserve this idea of a rhythm in the Hebrew word, in the Hebrew poetry. I don't know if you understood that, but if you have an English poem, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, How I Wonder What You Are, if you translated it into, say, Chinese, you couldn't make it rhyme in Chinese, could you? But the thing is that Hebrew can be translated into any language. As the concepts are linked and not the rhyme. You follow? Well, this is one of the things that God has arranged, isn't it? In the language. It can be translated into any language, but you still retain the same idea, the same concept, the same picture. So they're not meant to teach doctrine, but a person who follows their advice, certainly walks closely with God. And the word proverb comes from a Hebrew word, mashal, that means to rule or to govern. And these sayings and reminders and admonitions provide profound advice for governing our lives. It divides roughly into three sections. We have wisdom for young men. They're 1 to 9, chapters 1 to 9. It's directed at young men, but it's also a treatment of wisdom that's useful for everybody, really. Parents, certainly, young and old. And Keynes contains that very clear description of wisdom in Proverbs 8. The next section is wisdom for all people in general, chapters 10 to 24. And wisdom for leaders in the third section, 25 to 31. So as you read Proverbs, understand that knowing God is the key to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. How can God be known? How does he make himself known? The answer of Christian faith is the one person in whom God's mind and spirit are perfectly expressed, Jesus Christ. Jesus is truly the image of the invisible God, in Colossians 1, verse 15. And in the Old Testament too, Isaiah 11, and there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He is the one by whom we measure every other way in which God is revealed. In many ways, in the created order, what we call nature and love and music and art, beauty, fear, activity, even stillness. God's presence and his nature and his presence can be discerned, appreciated and felt. But the test by which we measure these experiences and understandings and by which we distinguish them from the world order or social consensus or even some drug-induced religious experience is the way it fits with the way God has made himself personally known in Jesus Christ. The God whom Jesus reveals is the Creator, whose ordering wisdom lies behind everything that exists, whose moral character gives us meaning to our awareness of right and wrong, and whose Holy Spirit gives us light, life, love and creativity. The wisdom, the values of the Spirit of God are seen in Jesus, Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. God is your source of life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, and our sanctification and redemption, which must mean that Jesus Christ, as God's gift, became for us the means by which we know God's wisdom, righteousness, and spiritual life. The picture of wisdom in Proverbs relates back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in John Gospel 2, in chapter 1, and the verses 1 to 5, when it speaks of the Word, who was in the beginning with God, and wisdom was with the Word in the beginning. The opening verses of Proverbs tell you its origins. Have I got some origins? No. Yeah. Well, Proverbs, if you've got your Bibles open, Proverbs 1:1. I'll read it for you. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the words of understanding, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, that the wise man may hear and increase in learning, and that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsels. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. Well, in this passage you get several words, a cluster of similar and overlapping meanings. You know, wisdom, discipline, understanding, insight, discretion, learning, and guidance. And all these are to do with education, a desire to learn, an eagerness to learn more about God through his word. Wisdom is the overarching term of which we'll talk a great deal, I'm sure, in the months to come. So where shall wisdom be found? Paul would answer, in Jesus Christ our Lord. He is God's wisdom. He is God's delight. Through him, God made the world. In him, God's light shines. He embodies the life of God. Paul writes in Colossians 2, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. He shares the life of God, creator, redeemer, and giver of life. It is in coming in the fear of the Lord, which is in reverent obedience to God, through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit, that we not only discover, but are also given strength to live out godliness in our everyday lives. But what God requires of us, that in Christ through his Spirit also gives. Now, I have to turn to specific proverbs in the program. And the first proverb is 12 and verse 8. A man shall be praised according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Now, the word perverse, proverb needs, the man needs a change of heart here. The meaning of perverse, which is a somewhat archaic word these days, I suppose, he's turned away from what is right, obstinate or persistent in what is, in what is so wrong, is self-willed and stubborn, disposed to be obstinately contrary to what is true or good, or to go in counter to what is reasonable and as required. So this man shall be praised for his wisdom if he knows God, but he who is disposed to be obstinately contrary to what is true and good, he will be despised. So the second proverb, 17 and verse 10. A reproof enters more into a wise man than 1,000 stripes into a fool. Well, I think that speaks for itself. The definition of fool in Proverbs is generally one who either hates God or rejects God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. But a wise man will always learn the lesson of his experiences. If he gets taught properly, but the fool simply has no understanding. In Proverbs 23, in verse 12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. So we're urged here to seek and search in the word and to seek for wisdom diligently in the word each day. So let's pray. I pray a prayer from Ephesians 1 and starting at verse 17 and 19. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us, the ones believing, according to the working of his mighty strength. So we turn to our closing hymn. Be thou my wisdom, thou my true word, I ever with thee, thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Mm-hmm.